Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, how you doing? Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday hump day, November 29th, 2017. We have plenty of things to discuss with our guests today. Andy Benoit from SI.com and Monday Morning Quarterback wrote an article about the Chiefs and why they shouldn't go to Patrick Mahomes. So we had Andy Benoit on, not really to argue about that, but just to ask him based on what he sees. He does some really good work every week where he does film study for a few games and tweets out his observations. And so he's a good follow for any NFL fan, any Chiefs fan. And so, it's a waste of time debating on whether or not Mahomes should start because Andy Reid's not going to do that. He's not going to do that right now. And so let's talk about what can be controlled and what can be changed and what can be done in preparation for this game against the New York Jets. And so that's what we did with Andy Benoit. We got to start first as to why he says it's not time for Mahomes, and then we get into a discussion about what the Chiefs can do, what the issues are running the football, the offensive line, how they match up against the Jets, and all that good stuff. That'll be at 7 o'clock with Andy Benoit from Monday Morning Quarterback. Gary Lezak will be on the show at 7:50. Mike DeCourcy, our college basketball insider from the Sporting News, will join us at 8:05. And then Dennis Dodd, Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com will be on the show with us to talk about everything college football, including the terrific finish to the season, at least to the regular season, for the Missouri Tigers and for the Kansas State Wildcats, and the vote of confidence in David Beatty and that regime as they will be coming back to KU. But the most interesting thing we'll talk with Dennis Dodd about is the coaching carousel. And we might just spend a few minutes on the situation at Tennessee, where every hour a different coach turns them down. So, anyone, since we started the show, Jake, has anyone turned down the Tennessee job? Have you been contacted by any chance? I know that you have a lot of connections.
I think they could do worse.
Right. Well, there's a chance they might, right. So we'll see.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
So Mike Gundy, and this is the best part about it. And this is like when we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, Nate, this is one of the most enjoyable things to watch. Like, Tennessee fans yesterday really thought Mike Gundy was going to come.
Because it's garbage.
They really did. And reading all the tweets, they met with him. He's thinking about it, which basically means he's telling his team right now.
That's not true.
And so then, okay.
Ain't true.
I think these are funny, unless I fall for them. But the old fake news, fake tweet from someone quickly put together a fake account that looked like an Oklahoma TV station, you know. Oklahoma State calls 8:30 meeting, blah, 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 team getting together, Gundy's going to let him, you know. And ESPN people and college football people started to retweet it.
That's why I don't read the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's garbage.
And then Tennessee fans, we got him. Believe even your man Clay Travis perhaps got fooled by that one.
Oh, shocker! They should let him be their moral police once again.
Maybe it might have got.
You know, he was a lawyer. Is a lawyer.
It was a good one. It was a good.
Yeah.
I think Gabe DeArmond, a couple of ESPN people, got it, and then by the time people figured out it was a fake tweet or a fake account, Mike Gundy has said no. So.
And then he tweeted out, Cowboy for life.
Right. But, did they really think Gundy?
I'm a man! I'm I'm 40.
Apparently they did. And like Clay Travis wrote all these, like why he was going to leave or why he'd leave Oklahoma State. And
Clay Travis also said Jason right. Witten was going to leave Dallas.
Hey, David Cutcliffe also. So it's it's unbelievable.
He's having a good run. I mean, he's pretty happy that he was able to rally up a lynch mob and go after one guy. And now he's every guy he said is going to take the job since then has said no. I'm stunned. I really thought that a guy would leave his alma mater for that hot mess.
Right.
A guy who's got,
I don't believe you're serious. You're kidding, aren't you?
Who's had a lot of success and won a lot of games at his alma mater where he's got a billionaire booster who gives him anything he wants and gives him a vote of confidence even when he loses to his rival.
Sarcasm.
I really thought, oh, yeah, he'll just rip up all that and go to Tennessee.
Sarcasm.
No. And then people were tweeting out, the official UT plane is en route to Stillwater. That's also one of the best things about coaching searches is when you start trying to figure out where the plane is, where the flights are. Was it, what's the website, Flight Aware? Is that it?
Yep.
Okay. All right. All right, there's a plane leaving Stillwater at 9:30. And it's just like, like some guy on business or something. Remember one time, I can't remember where it was going, or it had to do with one of the Missouri coaching searches, and it was just like a bunch of guys going to play golf on a jet. All right, we're waiting for the plane. It just landed, and it's several guys with golf bags, so. It's not a new coach. But apparently Tennessee offered Mike Gundy 6 years, $42 million. And he said no. It's a good offer, though. Here's what could happen, though. I will say this. When they're done chasing ridiculous candidates that want nothing to do with their job, there are some really good ascending younger coaches or less accomplished coaches that don't have the maybe not as sexy, right, that could end up being good hires for them. But then you have the situation, and here's what they've created. You have John Curry, who right now there are many Tennessee fans who just don't want anyone he picks, they're going to hate it. Because he picked it, right? They want him gone. And now they've been teased with, not really teased, but they've convinced themselves that it was going to be John Gruden, now Mike Gundy, Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick, Tom Landry. I get it. Some of those people have passed on, which to me,
I don't think they contacted
that
Vince
boy
Lombardi.
That doesn't. Well, he said no. And so he reached out. But they could end up with a really good football coach that they will absolutely trash from the moment he's announced.
Qualifications, fatal four-way rules. On the opponent at the moment, no end dog.
Yes, because really to make his mark the crowd at Monday Night Raw was against
the
John Curry.
Gifted superstar that's the entire cruiserweight roster.
I wonder why Jake loves that so much.
Kick by Swan. Beautiful.
So to get to the point of the story, now there are reports that one of the guys that they're going to reach out to, or maybe they already have, that according to other reports that actually is interested, is your man, Dave Doran. From Bishop Miege.
Yep.
Former Kansas assistant, now the head coach at North Carolina State.
So here's the thing about that.
Played at Drake too, didn't he?
I cannot wait to hear your reaction to that. Because you have so many different reasons
irons
to have,
and fire.
Yeah. You got a lot of reasons to care about that.
Well,
so what say you, young Timothy Foo?
I think Tennessee could do a lot worse than that. I think that Dave Doran is a really, really good coach.
Mm-hmm. He is. That's a true statement far. He's a hell of a coach,
I think,
right?
He's a really good coach, and he's proven he can win at tougher places to win than Tennessee. But I don't know if I'd even take the Tennessee job if I was him. He's finally got things up and running at North Carolina State, and it took him a little bit to get that going. Do you want to walk into that job right now where no matter who you are, they're going to be against you?
And that's my question for you. If you are Dave Doran, you're at North Carolina State, you're going to get you will get paid handsomely. You will go to Tennessee, and you're a good person to ask this because you have a better appreciation for what Tennessee used to be, because right now, for people that don't either didn't live through that or didn't care or just forget, it seems like just an absolute, and it is right now, a dumpster fire. It right now it is. It's terrible. But for a guy that you have a lot of respect for, that you like, that you know, and we all want him to succeed, he's a Kansas City guy, do you say, yeah, I'll take it. I could do this. It's Tennessee. It's the SEC. It's a lot of money. Or do you say, you know what? I'm going to stay at North Carolina State and maybe never get a shot. Because you never know. It's about timing. It's about, you know, he's had a good, successful season. This job is open. The dominoes have now, they've fallen to the point where he has a shot at this. What do you do?
It's an interesting one because I think that overall, like, there's no comparison to what the programs are. I mean, Tennessee is a better program historically than North Carolina State. There's no comparison. I do think Jake makes an interesting point. You know,
what?
I know. God, I hate saying that.
Ooh.
When we were talking about it last week, and I was I was, you know, defending the how good the Tennessee job is. That's before I saw this happen. But Jake was talking about how times have changed, and I do think that one of the areas in which the changing of the times has made a difference is the idea that, say, for example, someone would turn down Tennessee to stay at Oklahoma State. Because back when Tennessee won the national title, that those two programs weren't even close. Oklahoma State wasn't. I mean, they had a good history of, you know, getting some big time running backs and things like that. But, you know, Kansas could compete with Oklahoma State in football on a consistent basis back in those days. They didn't have, you know, T. Boone Pickens giving them hundreds of millions of dollars all the time. They weren't constantly in the top 25. Now they are, and they have all the facilities and everything else to compete within. They don't have a 100,000-seat stadium, but they got a big stadium, and they've got all the facilities you could possibly want. And I when I heard Gundy's name, I thought it was hilarious. I was like, he's not taking that job. And so times have changed in that regard. And also, like, I don't know that it's any harder to win a national championship at Oklahoma State now than it is at Tennessee. 20 years ago, that would have been a silly statement to make. So that is a change. Now, I still do think it's probably harder to win at North Carolina State in terms of winning at an elite level than it is at Tennessee, but I don't know how much harder. The ACC is really good, by the way. They've won a couple of national titles here of late. And he's competing in the ACC. But more than anything, it's such a toxic mess at Tennessee right now. If I'm Dave Doran, I would consider whether or not I would be positively received by the fans there.
Oh, he won't be. I mean, you don't have to consider that.
And I don't think I would be. And to that end, I don't think I want to take the job. And the reason for that is because, like, at the first sign of failure, they're going to want me out. And by the way, how long am I going to get to work for this athletic director if he hires me? I mean,
at least a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right. Right.
You're fired!
I mean, I think Tennessee's got to fire their AD before they can even make a hire now, because if I'm a head coach, I'm not going to go work for him. Because it seems like he's about to get fired, you know, any minute now. Why would I, you know, Dave Doran's put all this sweat equity into building up North Carolina State to the point where they can win now. And would you leave all that to walk into that situation? I don't know. I guess it might depend on how much money they offer you and guaranteed
right.
money and all that.
Right.
If you're going to get $20 million and set your family up for life, I suppose you consider it.
And then you get in there. And then if you do turn things around and start to win, then it's all good. But you better not lose two or three in a row.
Right. Right.
Or all hell will break loose.
And is that team ready to win right away? They're not winning right now. I don't know what they have coming, you know, in terms of talent that's ready to start playing next year, but they're not winning right now. So I will say this. I mean, gosh.
Say it.
Well, I'm happy for Dave Dorn. I'll say it that way.
No. That's not what you were going to say, though.
I know, but
we know you well enough. Don't you know what?
I'm happy for Dave Dorn.
Don't toy with the listener. I'll represent the listener here. I'm listening to you. Don't toy with their emotions. You were going to say something, and then people leaned over to the radio. What's he going to say? And you go, oh, no, I'm not going to say nothing.
It's against the rules.
I don't like it. I don't like that at all.
I need original thought, please.
I'm happy for Dave Dorn. That's original.
Your original thought prior to that thought.
I mean, I'll never stop thinking about the fact that he would have walked to Lawrence, Kansas and taken the job when they hired Charlie Weiss instead. Northern Illinois. And you know, at the time I was saying, gosh, I hope all they need to do is hire Dave Dorn. That's not hindsight.
That's one that is 100% true.
No.
That is 100% true.
And now he's a candidate for the Tennessee job.
So this is what,
8-4 overall this year, 6-2 in the ACC,
and Missouri might play North Carolina State in the bowl game.
That'd be a heck of a game.
Sure,
that'd be a good game to watch.
I like that. Yeah. Here's exactly what Bruce Feldman wrote, and Bruce Feldman knows what he's talking about. He said, a source says that UT has reached out to Purdue's Jeff Brohm and NC State's Dave Doran. Doran, a Kansas native, who was 56-34 in stints at Northern Illinois and NC State, led the Wolfpack to an 8-4 finish after entering the season on the hot seat. A source told SI that he would be very tempted by the Vols job. And then another option for Tennessee is USC offensive coordinator T. Martin.
It seems like that's where it's headed. I forget, Gary Barnett told us that, what, last week?
Right. Right. You know, because Gary Barnett hears about all this stuff and knows how crazy everyone is around Tennessee.
He said T. Martin was going to be the next head coach there, I believe.
You know, that there is a group of Tennessee fans that demanding Lane Kiffin to return.
Well,
I would like to see that personally, just for...
Lane Kiffin's sending out tweets trolling
right.
them, saying,
right.
ah,
that's right.
I'm just over here winning games.
Right.
Don't worry about me.
What if Lane
they didn't
Kiffin
run him off though? He left.
Yeah, he left home. After a year. But what if Lane Kiffin went back, coached another year, and then left again for a better job? That's what I want. That's or maybe like stay for 2 years and then left.
You know, who knows? Maybe Dave Dorn is considering it because of the fact that you know he was on the hot seat at North Carolina State the last couple years.
Oh, you've got to consider it.
You know, and that you know, hey, they love me now, but they didn't love me. They didn't love me at the start of the season. And, you know, he went 7-6 the last 2 years in a row. And, yeah, they only finished 3-5 in the league, but that's where I go back to, like, these schools. You're North Carolina State, and you're going to bowl games on an annual basis, and you want to fire your coach?
And I'm just telling you. And so you're reading these numbers and these records, and when Tennessee guy gets a hold of that, what do you think his reaction is going to be? Right. Well, he's not Nick Saban.
Right. Right.
And then all hell breaks loose. Just telling you that's what'll happen. And Tennessee just needs to figure out, because this is kind of what happened with Nebraska during the last 10 years in the Big 12 or so. It was pretty much even. Nebraska, Missouri had turned into a really good rivalry. Where each year you didn't know who was going to win. Sometimes Missouri won, sometimes Nebraska won. Whoever won that game was usually going to win the division at that point. It was really good. And Nebraska fans just were so insulted by that. Over the last 10 years or so, it was pretty even. Look at the results. It's not. That's how things go. It's you know, that's the way it is. It's not like Tennessee. They're still thinking they're on the same level with Alabama and Auburn. When let's just use Missouri as an example. Missouri's been in the SEC for 6 years. They're 4-2 against Tennessee, and they've been to two SEC title games in that span. Tennessee is not hanging with Missouri, but they And that's 6 years. And I get it. Tennessee's a way better football program. But if you're going to sit here and talk about the 70s and the 80s all night long, this is what's going to happen. Then you'll never be satisfied, even if a really good coach wants to come and turn your program around. Forget about what Florida's doing. Forget about the Florida. Dan Mullen turned you down and went to Florida. Forget about Georgia right now. Worry about not getting your ass kicked by the other teams. Because that's where you are right now.
Well, and the thing is, like, people love to throw out overall records. You know, that was their big thing. But Greg Schiano, look at his record. Well, he started a program at Rutgers that was nothing, that went 0-14 in the conference the first 2 years. And then by the end of it, they were posting winning records in their conference. And it's like, you know, people used to do that to Mangino all the time. Well, look at his overall record at KU. It's not that special. Well, that's
Mangino,
because he inherited a hot mess at the start, and by the end they were good. You know, and like Dave Doran, for example, he inherited
a team. I still play a pretty mean game of racquetball. You know what this is all about, don't you? Dollar signs.
That's still true.
That's right, dollar signs.
Oh, by the way, one bad year, they fired him. That was smart. Cool. That worked out well. But,
I'm sorry.
Dave Doran inherited a program that was 0-8 in the conference. But after 3 years in a row of winning three games in the conference, he's on the hot seat. Oh, that's not good enough. We need more progress than that. You know, and now they love him. But yeah, teams will throw out his overall record or whatever, and they won't be. He's not as sexy of a hire as some of these other guys. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if he takes it,
right?
Or if they even offer it to him. If they decide, you know, after, because now they're going to run everything through like a focus group and see, okay, how's the fan base going to react to this?
What they need to do is just talk to people at a Monday Night Raw every week and see what they think.
They're going to be painting any bizarre messages on that weird rock.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So.
Fatal four-way rules. Long opponent at the moment, Noam Dar, really looking to make his mark in the cruiserweight division. Maybe the most technically gifted superstar in the entire cruiserweight roster.
It's very hard to believe. It's hard to believe that the guy that ran off Frank Martin is having more issues.
Shocker.
Right. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WH. I don't want to talk over this song. I just want to listen to it. I've always wanted to be the guy that dances with the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Watch the video. Yep.
The hype guy.
Right. Dances the whole song.
Yeah.
Makes you happy.
Pomeroy had a couple hype guys that had danced on stage for him.
I've offered my services to Richie St. John whenever he performs. He is...
you can be their hype guy?
Not very politely declined. Said, no, please never do that. I guess get up there and just dance like this guy.
I'd love to do that.
Oh, of course. There'd be people standing in line to make fun of me.
I'd be first.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you this. If you're looking for a nice hot lunch today, come and join me at Pegas, P-E-G-A-H-S, is how you spell it. Pegas, I will be at the location off of 87th Street in Lenexa, just two blocks west of 87th and Quivira. You know what? Google Maps. It's in a strip mall. Is on the north side of the street. You can find it on 87th Street in Lenexa, and it's spelled P-E-G-A-H-S, Pegas, family restaurant. Delicious homemade comfort food. And I'm going to be there today from 11 until 1 when all the dinner platters that are normally $12 are available for just $5. Now, that's not including a drink. But you could spring for a drink when you're saving that much money on a big old platter that's probably too much for you to eat at lunch. So you can get lunch and dinner out of this thing. Or if this is I don't know, if you're the one that's supposed to buy lunch at the office, or you owe somebody lunch, or you lost a bet, you've been betting on the Chiefs and losing repeatedly, and you need to buy someone lunch, go to Pegas today, a dinner platter that is normally $12, just $5, and that's good at all four locations, but come and see me, you can register for fabulous prizes, and you can tell me what you think of the Chiefs quarterback situation. No, I don't want to hear it anymore. I've given up. So come out and see me at Pegas Family Restaurant, just off of 87th Street in Lenexa, two blocks west of 87th in Quivira, today from 11 until 1 o'clock, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kansas beat the you-know-what out of Toledo. They're like, holy Toledo! Kansas is good. No?
Wow, that was a Dave Armstrong-esque pun right there.
Why are you going to bring Dave Armstrong into this?
Because holy Toledo!
He was doing the play-by-play last night. He had a couple of those. I think at one point he said, the Rockets are having a tough time getting off the launch pad.
Wow.
Holy Toledo!
Because it's the Toledo Rockets.
Right. That's right.
This KU team is really fun to watch offensively. They have so many guys that can score and can shoot from the outside. Svi continues to be red hot from three. He was 5 of 6. Devontae Graham had been the one guy that was struggling shooting the ball. And I couldn't care less about him struggling to shoot the ball because he didn't struggle last night. He went for 35 points. But they move the ball so quickly. Graham, Mikhailuk, Newman, Vic all can shoot, all can score. And Azubuike is a beast inside. So they're fun to watch right now, man. Really fun to watch offensively.
12 of 20 from three.
It's impressive.
96 to 58.
Now, their schedule is going to get a lot tougher coming up. You know, we got the game down in Miami on Saturday against Syracuse.
They'll beat Syracuse.
Syracuse undefeated, though, so that's a decent game. Washington.
Toledo gave Syracuse a handful. So.
Right. That's true. But Syracuse did just beat Maryland the other day, and they're undefeated. So, and then they play Washington. Then they play against number 20, Arizona State. And then they play at Nebraska.
Aha! Nebraska ball.
Mm-hmm. And they close out their non-con at Stanford. So, you know, five major conference opponents coming up. So we'll see, you know, how they keep up their offensive performances once the competition gets a little bit better.
Why are you playing Nebraska? They left the conference.
I didn't schedule.
Does that anger you?
I mean, whatever.
Does it anger you?
Don't
say whatever. Don't say whatever. If it makes you mad, say it.
I don't care.
Yeah, I feel like Bo Pelini about it.
I don't care.
I wouldn't do it, but I don't care.
I don't care.
Is that a good enough answer for you?
Jake, are you furious?
Nebraska!
But Nebraska's on the schedule.
I don't care.
No, I can't.
Take someone to task.
I could absolutely care less.
You could?
No. Absolutely could. I could. I swear.
I wouldn't do it, but whatever. I don't care. I'm
Kansas should not be doing what's good for Nebraska.
Yeah.
I think it's good for Kansas to go up there and kick their ass.
I think it's good for Nebraska because they're going to sell out.
Well,
apparently they've been selling out a lot lately.
Well, I mean, you won't be able to get a ticket to that one, would you?
I think Nebraska's more of a basketball school these days than a football school. So
Nebraska,
I'm not going to take part in
get
that.
Him, Nate.
You know what? I was making true statements earlier and talking about things, and then you. This is now day three of him taking shots at everybody.
Nebraska,
every get single person took a shot at Kansas State, took a shot at Iowa State.
I don't care.
You said there. What did you say?
Iowa, just the whole state.
You say the what was there a competition between the two for what?
Who can boo the refs more? Who can blame refs more?
Who do you vote for?
I don't know, man. It's neck and neck or whatever you call it.
I don't care.
You don't think Iowa State had any gripes
Oh, they had a lot of gripes.
Legitimate gripes?
I think Nebraska. One or two of them was pretty questionable. But there was a questionable... Yeah, there's questionable calls every game. You know how I feel about that.
I don't like it.
Teams always focus on the questionable calls that cost their team.
But you see a ref, you throw a flag, you think it's something, and then the old conference... no flag. Pick it up.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Well, I mean, you saw something.
Yeah, but, you know, I like it when the refs communicate on things and decide as a group, okay, what did you see? What did you see?
They'll get together. All right, I've got reservations at 6:30.
Yep. My flight, I can make my flight.
Thing. We need to get this thing rolling.
I can make my flight.
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
I've got to turn my rental car in within 1 hour. We need to get this thing rolling. Pick up the flag. All right? Okay. Do you think that's what they talk about or not?
I think so. I think Iowa State should be more angry about their clock management than things they can control than refs.
We should send the guy that asked Andy Reid about clock management to Matt Campbell's next press conference. Now, that would be that. See?
There we go.
I'm always thinking. Not really. Very rarely.
I was thinking about going up to that Nebraska game because, you know, one of my best friends lives up in Omaha. He's a KU guy. Go over to the game together, but it's the same day as my son's birthday, so not going to be able to do that.
Why don't you take your boy up there for his birthday?
Well, that's not what he wants for his birthday. He wants to take some of his friends to see the Star
how old
Wars
is he?
Movie.
Here's the deal. How old is he?
He's about to turn 8.
You tell him. You tell him what he wants.
You know what he wants.
Nah.
Nope.
He knows what he wants.
Nope.
Has he been given the option of going to see Nebraska ball?
No, I didn't even throw it out there.
Then you don't know. Boy, you know what? That's not nice.
Why couldn't you go up to Nebraska, take him to the game, and then go see Star Wars after the game?
He wants to take some of his friends to see the Star Wars.
Take all the kids up to the basketball.
Well, he can take them for another repeat later on in the week.
Rent a van.
But he'll have already seen it, so he'll see it for the second time before all his friends saw it.
Well, he's already going to see it the first time when we go to the, you know, the special.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about that.
Yeah. That this guy, you know what he is now? He's a rule breaker.
Why are we not?
I feel like you. I think you tell him not to do something, he's going to do it just to spite people. He's turned into what you used to be.
What,
Jake?
It's the beard, man. I'm feeling edgy.
Probably.
Who else you want me to take a shot at this morning?
Let me think about it.
Yeah,
I've got a list. Trust me.
Look, I can take a shot in my own, you know, my own fan base too. If people think I just pick on K-State and Iowa State fan bases. Every fan base has something that makes them annoying.
K-State fan bases and Iowa State fan bases and Nebraska fan bases.
Every fan base has something that makes them annoying. And if you can't admit that about your own fan base, then, I can't.
Oh, I hate KU fans.
Nate.
KU fans are horrible.
Hate them. They're the worst.
they're so obnoxious. They are.
I mean, I agree, but wow.
They're the worst.
You too.
Oh, arrogant, you know.
Jerk.
Spoiled.
Never wrong.
Condescending.
Right.
Jake and I are on the same page with this one.
Blow right through these commercial breaks here. Go long on this segment.
Stretch it out, right. Phil. Nope.
Every fan base has something that
but
makes
I'm not annoying. A KU fan, though.
You are.
Nope.
Yes, didn't you go
are. School there.
That's one of the most annoying things about KU fans.
Didn't
none of you guys went to school there.
Right, see? That's exactly right.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Very
we
good.
Got a break.
We don't have to do anything.
True.
Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll talk some Chiefs football with Andy Benoit from SI.com and Monday Morning Quarterback. We'll do that right at 7 o'clock. Mike DeCourcy, our college basketball insider from the Sporting News at 8:05. And then Dennis Dodd will talk college football, the college football coaching carousel, which keeps spinning round and round. Dennis Dodd will talk to us about that at 9:05, including the news that Arizona State is interested in Herm Edwards as a coaching candidate, and Herm Edwards is going to interview with them over the weekend. What's your reaction to that?
Interesting. I kind of thought that by this point Herm maybe didn't want to coach anymore, but I think that's interesting.
I'll tell you this, he'd be a hell of a recruiter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you get him in the living room?
Absolutely.
With a mom and a dad?
I'd send my kid to play for him.
Uh-huh. I don't have one, but... Your
kid's only 8.
Well, he's not going to play football anyway, but I'm just saying that, like, if I had a kid who was good enough to play football and Herm Edwards was recruiting him, that's the kind of guy I'd send him to play for. Because I think Herm Edwards would help teach my son to be a man, not just a football player. I think that comes across every time you talk to him. He'd be a tremendous recruiter.
Do you think Herm could teach you to be a man?
I wish.
I selfishly don't want him to get that job.
Yeah. Why?
Well, I mean, I think that would end his Monday mornings with the Border Patrol.
Nah.
Nah.
Hey, Coach.
So have him on. Get on here, Coach. Let's talk.
Right.
Let's have at it.
No, I think he'd be a perfect fit in the college game.
Can we...
Nope. Can't do it.
Can we mention this freaking Eli Manning thing for a second? I realize it's going to get overplayed in New York because it's New York, but I'm blown away by it.
On ESPN.
Let's take a break and then come back and talk about it, because I think there is a lot of...
I'm blown away by it. I mean, what I thought, they benched him for who?
Geno Smith.
Right.
Geno Smith. You benched a guy that's a 2-time Super Bowl champion for your organization. Can you imagine?
210 consecutive starts.
If a guy in this town won 2 Super Bowls?
No, I can't imagine that. You could just stop right there. No, I can't imagine that.
You bench that
you
guy
don't, no, you don't have,
for
you don't
Geno
have to,
Smith?
You don't have to say anything else. I can't imagine what you
right.
just said. No.
Right.
No.
Right.
Can't.
You'd have to win 2 Super Bowls.
Let me think. Nope.
The entire organization ought to be ashamed. The entire fan base ought to be ashamed. That's
right,
that's
right.
Shameful.
Ownership.
And this train wreck
that is shameful
of a football team
and they beat
just beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
That, we can talk about it more. But
if you would have told me, hey, one of these quarterbacks is going to be benched in the next couple of weeks, I would have been like, oh, please, please. Wrong one. Wrong one got benched. Are you not going to say nothing back there?
Well, I mean...
Boy, you don't say much since you came back from vacation, day 3.
Dude, what do you want me to say?
I want you to show a little bit of outrage or something.
Why?
Show me
why?
That you got...
That's all I did last
now.
Year.
Now.
You know what? I've done since they traded 2 first-round
drafts. Don't be like a Tennessee football fan. I don't want to hear what you used to do. I want to know what you're doing right now.
It doesn't matter.
The owners of the New York Giants ought to fire Ben McAdoo right now and tell him you're putting Eli Manning
back. Oh, no. This doesn't happen without the ownership.
That's shameful.
That's
part of it.
There you go. Absolutely.
Shameful. Shame on you, you stupid Giants.
Hey,
you know how bad we want a Super Bowl in this town? Just one. Just one.
But their season's over.
He won you 2, and you're going to treat him like that?
But I don't.
They didn't draft Patrick Mahomes. They don't have
but
him.
But they drafted Davis Webb, who was one of the top probably 4 or 5 prospects.
Right, so they're going to play him?
They're going to transition to him, yes.
Then transition to him. Don't bench your iconic quarterback.
Then let's go back to
Geno Smith.
To your thoughts on how they're handling Patrick Mahomes in terms of let's let him develop, let's let him grow and ease him into the situation.
Sure.
I mean, that's what they're doing. They're going to.
They can't do that with Eli Manning at starter?
I mean, it's probably harder to go away from Eli than Geno Smith. Like, if you put Geno Smith in there and ease into Davis Webb.
I think it's easier to sell, hey, we're going to bench Eli Manning because we're going to start this young guy that we've invested heavily in, and we need to take a look at him.
I do think a lot of the outrage is like, you're benching him for...
Ooh. Yeah, for Geno Smith.
Well, eventually it's going to be Davis Webb.
It's embarrassment.
But Geno's pizza.
Shame on
the
Giants.
Take some of that.
Shame
Maybe
on the New York Giants.
Maybe
but Geno's in New York. It's a popular name. That's what I'm talking about.
The guy beat Tom Brady twice. In the Super Bowl.
Boy, did you know he was going to be this upset about that?
No,
I just think it's unbelievable.
Because
I was thinking about, like, God, how would we treat a quarterback in this town if he won 2 Super Bowls? How would we treat that quarterback? I hope we would treat him better than this. We would go freaking ballistic for 1 Super Bowl.
I mean, Len Dawson. How this city has loved Len Dawson for decades and decades.
Right.
So
right. As we should have. We treated Len Dawson the way that he deserved to be treated.
He cheated us to a Super Bowl win.
Right.
Back after this on WHB.
This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up right now, we're going to talk to Andy Benoit from SI.com and Monday Morning Quarterback about your Kansas City Chiefs. So keep listening right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.